Next on Gospel of Life, see an inspiring example of how parents respond to an unexpected change in plans. Hello, I'm Father Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. Many of you are parents, and you will be interested in the example you're going to see today of how parents responded to an unexpected change in their family's plans when their daughter came to them with the news that she was pregnant. Janet, this is part two of an inspiring story of Kathleen Fitzpatrick, whose testimony we saw last week.
That's right. And, you know, this part of the story is really, so many people might have heard of this or been in this situation where their daughter goes off to college and partying and gets herself in a situation like Kathleen and becomes pregnant. And here we see, you know, last week we heard from Kathleen's words, but now we see, how did the parents hear the news? How did they respond? It's very interesting to hear in their own words. Most parents kind of think how they're going to react. Well, the Fitzpatricks share their feelings. So let's take a look at that clip right now.
When you hear this news, it's just a stunning moment in your life. You know that your whole life has just changed. Not only Kathleen's life, but the family life has changed. And through the years, I always had a sense that, you know, I needed to have a reality check throughout the years. I have three daughters and a son. What happened? And how would I react to that? And
I'm very vocal and emotional, and a miracle occurred that day. I really felt like Zechariah from the Bible. I couldn't speak. Like, God took my voice, and no words could come out when she told me. And I'm so blessed and thankful for that, because I know the power of words. And the very first thing we say at a raw moment does sear and stay with a person, no matter how much healing can occur. And a lot of us don't say our higher-level thinking, best positive words the first time we're, you know, faced with something. And God literally protected me. I said nothing. I couldn't speak. I kept trying to say something, and words just wouldn't come. And so that was a good 20 minutes. And I think the family was so stunned that I couldn't speak.
Shocked.
It was a shock. And that's really how we started. And we cried, and then we finally were able, you know, my voice, I had a reaction time. And I think that's something so important to remember when we get shocking news of any type. Just have adjustment time to absorb it into your heart before you use a choice of words.
Well, Kathleen was sitting right here on the couch, and I was sitting over there, and I came over to her right, and I held her, and I said, "How are you?" I whispered in her ear, and I said, "How are you doing?" And she said, "He knew him." She turned to me and just said, it's so biblical, and she just said, "He knew him before he was born." And I knew she was going to be okay. I knew at that moment. She had something deep inside her that would get her through it. Well, the first step was, how would she inform our family? We have lots of family, 30-plus relatives, you know, within 5 or 10 miles of where we live. And how would they hear the news? And how would this be explained? And Beth Ann came up with a tremendous statement of what our position and our statement would be, that Kathleen had an unexpected blessing, and she went to all of the family, and told them personally, and then asked them not to reveal that to some other family member before she had a chance to go and tell that story to each and every family member. Very courageous, an incredible move on her part, but she gained tremendous support from all of the family. And there were young nieces.
We have 21 grandchildren, I believe. And we're the top ones. So our children are...
We don't have 21 grandchildren, but there's 21 grandchildren in the family.
Cousins. And when you are in the top of the family, you can't help but have a leadership role as far as they look up and they see, and we have all these little children. See, we wanted to handle this in a way that was going to give dignity to the situation and yet be truthful. And that's really the fine line when you come into these situations. It's such a fine line that you have to pray constantly to walk it, because you cannot make it as if it's a normal, everything great type thing. But on the other hand, you're welcoming a beautiful life. So in other words, you know, with all these other ones, we want having a baby without being married is not something that we want to make so much fun looking that, you know, you can't wait to do it. You're setting this example. So we tried to be very sensitive to the issue. Yes, this baby deserves a welcome into this world because it's God's gift, and every gift deserves a beautiful welcome. It does not need to have an elaborate shower, so to speak. You know, so we had a welcome party when he was born. And, you know, people do bring gifts, but it's like just the idea of not having it like a normal shower. There's little things like that that are very, they're just very delicate. And Kathleen did go and tell each member. My mother, is 80 years old, has had 9 children. These were not easy visits that she made, but everybody just did what a family does. They pull together and they love. And you get a grace. You know, you hear this your whole life, you'll get a grace. But when you are in a situation and you ask for the grace, you do get it. There's no question.
I can't imagine what Kathleen's life would be like, what our life would be like if she had taken an alternative choice. I mean, this little guy is... he's special. And I get the pleasure of seeing him every day, which is just an awesome, awesome opportunity. Oh, my gosh. The thought of Kathleen walking around with that secret, what a gift we've received. And her spirituality, I marvel at. Obviously, when she went to church that night and asked God for that help, he not only helped her that night, but he's been helping her every day since then.
We would be the most likely couple, profile-wise, to have a child have an abortion because the fear of coming home in disgrace to parents that are out talking. I mean, that's just, I could never do it to them. This would ruin them. I teach chastity and abstinence in my school where I teach. And someone actually said to me, you do get a lot of things said to you, it's too bad that your own daughter didn't listen to your message. And that was like a dagger. And I was like, oh, that hurt. But you know what? I cried all night, and in my tears came to me, my daughter did listen to me. She really did listen to me. She came home. And I went back the next day, and I said to this person, oh, you know what? It might look like she didn't listen to me, but she did. She's home, and we're going to have the baby, you know? But the one thing I would like to say that's so important, surround yourself with people that you trust and look up to in wisdom. It's very important to just remove yourself and gather yourself and go to prayer with it, and it will come to you.
So, yeah, now my family knows, and it's kind of out there, but the immediate realities of life don't go on pause just because you still have 7 months left of a pregnancy, and it was, am I going to finish school? And anyway, blessing after blessing kind of unfolded, and even though I left the one school and came home, a local college had granted me acceptance, even though they were 2 weeks into their semester, so that I wouldn't get behind, because I knew that the following fall semester I'd have to take off, because I was giving birth in August. So I got right into my studies, which kind of kept me grounded and kind of kept me focused, and I just kind of made preparation as best as I could, and then August 30th came, and I gave birth to a little baby boy named Gabriel. And that day it was the beginning of the rest of my life. And from that point on, it's just been, we've had our moments, we've had our struggles, we have had our ups and downs, but overall, I have to say, you wake up every day and you go and get a blessing at the crib. I'll be finishing up with school and have my undergraduate completed. And the real testimony is that life was on pause for a little bit, and then it kind of picks back up. And it may have taken a little bit longer, and my journey may have not been the normal path, like most people's, but I've been taken in a different direction, and a direction that I could have never foreseen for my own future. So in those moments of angst and fear and, you know, anguish, you don't see the blessings that are on the other side. And I think that, you know, it's holding on to know what's true in the dark, but you know to be true in the light. And that's kind of been my experience. So I'll be finishing up. I have my 2-year-old, and that's kind of where I am. The only advice I would give to somebody in my situation or to somebody who had a friend in my situation would be to just make no immediate decision, to just be with it, and to go seek help from somebody that you trust. In my experience, I went to the closest church that I could find because I knew that would be a safe haven for my thoughts. And I think that what you do immediately really is reflective of how the situation will pan out. So if it's a friend who just found out she's pregnant, ask her if she'll go find a church with you and just go sit with her. You can't underestimate the power of the presence of God in that decision. The moment you find out, it's boom, boom, boom. Everyone's throwing their opinions at you, and you need to be confident in what it is that you're doing, and let God kind of lead you. It was very difficult to leave and to literally drive out of campus for the last time, and I had been home for 2 weeks before I went back to school to tell everybody. Nobody knew why I was home. And when I went back to tell them all my friends were shocked. And, of course, they were all so supportive and, you know, we'll be here for you. And really, most of them were. But there are a lot of friends you lose in the process just because, you know, their lifestyle is still continuing what you were once a part of. And you're no longer part of that anymore. And so you don't have that commonality. It was really hard to leave. And there are months of loneliness that you experience. But it was almost like in that alone time was how I was really deepening myself and who I was becoming, and God was taking that time to really kind of mold me and shape me so that I could be confident in my lifestyle, in my situation with my son as a single mother. It was the preparation that time. So even when everybody, you know, goes and leaves you, or it's a blessing. I mean, the one thing is that my grandmother's always said to us, you can have it all, you just can't have it all at the same time. And I think that kind of mantra has cut me a little slack in trying to achieve everything I wanted to before I found out I was pregnant, or you know, mourning the dreams that you once had. I realized, you know, I couldn't go study abroad in Italy like I planned to, but it doesn't mean that in a couple of years I can't go to Italy now as an adult, and your life isn't over. It just means that those priorities are being redirected in a way that, you know, I may end up appreciating Florence a lot more now than I was going to when I was in college anyway. So God has a way of, you know, having us reappreciate the great things he has in store for us. And it's just taking time to really see it that way. But it isn't easy. And I do definitely enlist the help of a lot of people. Learning to ask for help wasn't something that was easy, but something that I had to learn very quickly. And I am just so grateful to the many hands that have made finishing college even a reality. You know, you couldn't do that without people who are just so willing and able, and I am so grateful for that, and I definitely know that that's rare in my situation, and I'm very grateful for that.
I just think somehow God prepares us for whatever it is he's going to put on our lap or invite us to, and we all have a personal preparation, but I think that it's like the Pope John Paul said, do not be afraid. I just do not be afraid, whatever, because the other side is filled with many blessings that you can't even anticipate. And if this happens to any family, which, you know, I have a funny feeling it's going to become something bigger than it used to be. People understanding abortion more, realizing they really don't have a choice when they are fully aware of what it is. These situations may be more common. And you know what? It's all okay. It all works out. And you're all the better for it. You're better people. And I just trust in God.
Well, we certainly thank the Fitzpatrick family for sharing so much of this experience and so many of the feelings, the emotions, the conflicts within them. You know, first of all, my first thought is, what a testimony to the foundation that had already been put in place by their faith and their faithfulness. They raised their family in such a way that they were all prepared. Even though they felt unprepared for this, they really were.
That's right.
The faith that was there, it sustained them through this unexpected change.
One of the things that the mother said that was really very good for people to remember was, at first she said nothing, absolutely nothing, because she took time to absorb the information, because she said she knew deep down, whatever I say in those first few moments are going to be seared into my daughter's memory forever, so I better get a grip on myself and think
yes.
this through.
And those were moments just of presence, which
That's
is
right.
often more important than words. It's
right.
presence, loving
notice,
presence.
They all huddled together as a family, prayed and cried and mm-hmm. wept through it, and then came out of that. And then also, too, if you notice, they were very careful how they told the other members of their family.
Well, I noticed that, too. The fact that Kathleen wanted to tell each member of the family personally,
yes.
that's a powerful testimony in and of itself, because it's saying that, you know, this story is not gossip. You know, gossip is when, you know, the story takes on a life of its own and people are just flinging it around like a plaything. No, this is me. And this is my personal response. And therefore, it's part of taking responsibility, too.
Right.
Saying, look, I'm going to approach you and I want to tell you myself what happened to me and the way I'm choosing to resolve it.
That's right. And you notice they were younger cousins and things, and the mother was also very cautious about, well, we're delighted that the child is going to be born and have life, but we have to be also careful of how we tell this news. We're not going to throw a big baby shower. No, we'll have a welcoming party after the baby is born. You know, so there was such sensitivity in every aspect of this.
Marvelous.
And it's a great example, and for people to take this as a lesson for themselves, if they're ever in this situation, and spread this message of such a positive way, that affirming life, a life-affirming story, really.
Well, you know, the Christian faith is based on testimony, and you know it. You work with the testimony of those that have had abortions, and hear a beautiful testimony of someone who did not have an abortion but chose life, and the testimony of her whole family. So thanks, Janet, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for what you do to spread stories like this and to be part of better solutions than abortion. Stay with us.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. We need your help to dominate the abortion industry's false ideas that abortion is good for women. And the way to do that is to help us reach as many people as possible who have had abortions and are willing to either seek the healing that they so deserve or even speak out about their abortion experience. Janet, of course, heads up the Silent No More Awareness campaign together with Georgette Fournay of Anglicans for Life. And Janet, this is really a very simple but powerful way that our viewers can help the movement. There are so many women out there who have had abortions, and by registering with the Silent No More Awareness campaign, they are first of all benefiting themselves, right?
Right.
We connect them with the various healing.
One of the on our website, silentnomoreawareness.org, one of the largest listings of all the abortion recovery programs that are out there.
Yes.
But what we need to do is hear from the women and the men as numbers. So, for example, from the women and men that already speak out and go to events and speak on behalf of the campaign, that's a small number, all right? But right now we have close to 3,000 men and women who have signed up to say they regret her abortion. So, for example, if one of our women is giving a talk in church, they can stand up now and say, well, I'm just one of a few thousand women and men who have come forward to say they regret their abortion. Well, that's an okay number. But when you put that in contrast to the fact that there's been 50 million children lost to abortion since 73, that doesn't sound so great, you know, to the media and the secular media in particular. So what we're asking Christians to do is if you are a man or a woman who have experienced abortion and you regret that decision, take the first step by sending us an email saying, yes, amen, I agree with you. I had an abortion or I took my girlfriend for an abortion, and yes, I regret that deeply. Just send us an email.
We don't publicize their names. This is completely confidential.
Not.
It's that, again, let's explain to people the value of having the numbers. The pro-abortion people claim that abortion does not impact women in a negative way. They say, oh, there's plenty of people out there, they've had abortions, and they don't regret it.
That's right.
We know the damage it causes them. We know that there are so many suffering silently. We know that there are so many out there who would love to make their voices known to say, yeah, we're out here and we're suffering, and we want the world to know that. We don't necessarily want the world to know who I am individually, but by signing up with the campaign, we're able to say there's tens, there's hundreds of thousands that we know. That's the point.
Regret
we know
that decision.
They're in touch with us, yes.
So, like, for example, they just go to our website, silentnomoreawareness.org, and just send us an email. It's a simple little form they fill out, and they identify themselves and give us their email. Now, what's going to happen? We'll have that information, but like you said, Father, it's kept confidential. Mm-hmm. We will send them an email, a monthly email, where they can get information about what the campaign is doing, opportunities to be silent no more. If in that initial email they ask for some healing resources, then we will again have someone point them in the right direction, and that's all it has to be from there. If they don't want to take any further steps, it's okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Just that they can be counted among the men and women who say they regret their abortion. However, if after they receive our emails for a few months and they go through healing and they say, God's calling me to take another step, they could just ask us and we can put them in touch with where is there going to be a gathering or an event where they could just come in prayer support. They don't even have to hold a sign yet. Just come in prayer support with the other men and women. You should see what happens, Father, at events where the men and women who have experienced abortion and regret it come together. It's such an additional healing experience to be with like-minded people. So I implore everyone to please get in touch with us because we need the numbers to show and reach out to more people that healing is available.
Thanks, Janet. Pastors, please publicize it in your churches. Friends, publicize it to your email list on your website. Have a link to silentnomoreawareness.org. Mention it in your newsletters. Help us get the word out. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Spread the word about our program. Thank you for watching.
You were looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion. Haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Father Frank A. Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries, is an internationally known pro-life activist, speaker, and author. He has been the National Director of Priests for Life since 1993 and appears regularly in the religious and secular media. He has served at the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. He has been a spiritual guide for Norma McCorvey, the former Jane Roe of the Supreme Court's abortion decision, Roe v. Wade. Father Frank is president of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, an umbrella group of many denominations working to end abortion. Father Frank is also the National Pastoral Director and Board Chairman of Rachel's Vineyard, the world's largest ministry of healing after abortion. Father Frank is a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas, and carries out his pro-life mission with the permission of his bishop. For more information on Father Frank and Priests for Life, visit www.priestsforlife.org. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.